Where are we up to? Pirkei Avos, Mishnah 9. Perek Aleph, Mishnah 9. Test. Shimon ben Shetach Oimer. Having Machkelacher Seidim. The last Mishnah was also speaking about not to be too much like a lawyer, and also not to, you know, look at the litigants as being guilty, and then look at them as being innocent. So here it continues the Mishnah about different things about court cases and litigation. You should examine the witnesses a lot, thoroughly. However, be careful. He's talking to the judges, obviously. Be careful with your words. Because from your own words, the judges' words, it could be that the witnesses can come to learn to lie. So the Yachin, the Tiferes Yisrael, starts off and he says, it means just to do a lot of cross-examination. When you're dealing with testimony, make sure to do a lot of cross-examination. Because when you do this, you're going to, you know, you could catch the guy, you could catch the witness, you know, you say you were there, what about this? And you ask him all sorts of details. But if you're doing that as a judge, so then you have to be careful, because if you ask him too many questions, he could like start to see what you're getting at and what the situation was, and he could learn from your words to lie and to distort the case in the way he wants it distorted. So you have to be very, very smart as a judge to know how to be very thorough in examining the witness, and at the same time not to release too much information which could be used against the truth. The Bar Tanura understands, that you, the judge, should be very careful in your words, also not to lead the witnesses. You know, like sometimes they say, maybe he wasn't really, you know, charging at you when you shot him, you know, the police or something like that, whatever. You can lead the witnesses, as they call it in American legal terms, because that's also just encouraging the witnesses to lie. The Gra sees that this Mishnah is actually telling us, it's highlighting the thing in the Torah where it says, it says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. It doesn't say, don't lie in the Torah. It says, lying, stay far away. Which is much more powerful than just don't lie. Stay far, far away from lies. So he says, that's what this Mishnah is basically coming to tell you, is that you have to be so careful with your words that no lie can even come out from it. Not that you're lying, but that you're saying something, and if you say something, lies could be construed around your words. You have to be very clear with your words in that sense. The Aruga Sabosim learns a very interesting lesson from this Mishnah. It seems like it's just a very legal, you know, judge type of Mishnah, but he learns a much deeper thing coming out from this Mishnah. He says like this. He says that there are different reasons, there are different times in life, good times, bad times, and he says that when the good times are flowing, so it could be for a various number of reasons. He says one of the reasons is, you know, you could say, Hashem loves me, I'm a tzaddik, obviously I'm a holy guy, and Hashem loves me, and he's giving me good times. Okay, that's number one. The other reason could be that the person's actually a very big Rasha, and it says that Hashem, very often with Rishayim, he pays them back all the good in this world, you know, they have all of the success and all of the good in this world, so he's paying them back all the good in this world, and in the next world he can, give them a nice slap in the face. The third reason, which is not always so clear to people, that the Arugas Bosom highlights here, is that the guy's not a Rasha, he's not a Tzaddik. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him a lot of good to see how he relates, how he reacts to that good. A lot of times a person gets good, a lot of good, and they'll just take it and run. But Hashem wants to test the person to see, what are you going to do with the good? Are you going to take it and run and forget about me? Or are you going to still be able to focus on me and recognize that I'm the one giving the good? Like, you know, the example of like going outside in the sunlight, you got to wear sunglasses sometimes not to be blinded by the light. When Hashem's giving you a lot of good, a lot of times you forget very, in essence, that there is Hashem giving you the good because it's so good. So Hashem could be, in one sense, testing a person. So that's the three things that could be why a person's getting good. Either because he's a tzaddik and Hashem is giving, you know, loves him, he's giving him good, or he's a rush and Hashem's paying him back the good, or he's testing him to see what he will do with the good. So in the beginning of Parshas Hazino in Devarim, Hashem calls the heaven and the earth to testify, Shemayim va'aretz, to be the witnesses to see if a person's going to be doing good or bad in life. And so the heaven and the earth are the witnesses. So our Mishnah says, when it says, Havimar b'lachar es ha'edim, is that, who are the Edim? The Shemayim va'aretz. And so if the Shemayim va'aretz, meaning the whole world, your whole life around you, is all of a sudden smiling upon you, and everything's going great, and everything's going easy, and you're having a great time in life, be careful. First, do a little cross-examination to the witnesses before you start saying, look, everything's working great, I'm making money, everything's going for me, so obviously Hashem loves me, and you just start partying and losing yourself. Before you do that, take 1 second to examine, wait a minute, maybe for a second I could think that Hashem's actually testing me to see how am I going to relate to the good instead of just saying, ah, oh, Hashem loves me and it's all good and I'm just getting the good because I'm such a great guy. You take a moment to do introspection to see how your relationship with Hashem, and then, like Rabbi Arshoy says, say todah for everything that He gives you.
Could you also think the second part in saying, Hashem thinks I'm a Rasha, what am I doing wrong?
Ah, I guess, yeah. I don't know if you'd have to assume that you're a Rasha, Hashem's paying you all the back. I don't know. I guess you could, if you wanted to do that. If that's going to bring you closer to Hashem, meaning if you're going to get down from that, I would probably say rather not to like think like I'm a Rasha, you know, Hashem hates me and He's paying me back all my good and all the good is not good, you know. I could think Hashem is doing good. I always said there's two people that one guy once told me, his Rebbe said that if you open up a book, a sefer, and it comes to the page that you wanted it to, so you should close it and reopen it and find the page. Because you're taking schar from Hashem, you know, you open it up and it just came to that page. Hashem, you know, Hashem doesn't want things to go easy, you close it and open it up again and find the page. And the other person once told me that his Rebbe said, a different guy, he said, his Rebbe used to do this. If you opened up and it was the page, you would give it a kiss and say, thank you, Hashem. Wow. You know? I opened up and just came to the page. It's nice. Thank you, Hashem. There's two ways of looking at things in life, you know, always with that. And so it doesn't... Not necessarily that you have to always look at it that Hashem is coming to hurt you if things are good, but okay. He's saying with the same introspective eye that you're using for that, you could probably figure out what's really going on in your life, you know, to see what's happening. Svasemes is also much deeper than the superficial reading of what the Mishnah is talking about. Ma'abr lachras or edim, to be cross-examined the witnesses. The Svasama says the Edom are actually Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov, as he seems to constantly say like this. And each of them are coming to come with their case, you know, the classic little white angel on the right side and the red angel with the pitchfork on the left side, and they're each coming to tell you what they want you to do. You should do this, you should do that, you should do this, you should do that. So he says, be very careful before you just decide, you know, okay, I'll listen to you. Be very careful, weigh each side carefully and to see where does the truth really lie. Because sometimes the Yetzer Hara, he says, which is what Reb Nachman brings down in Torah Aleph already, he says that the Yetzer Hara hides himself behind the guise of mitzvahs. Right? He says, this is a mitzvah to speak on that guy, Lashon Hara. That's the classic case, you know. On him, it's a mitzvah. You always get the guys saying that. So before you start running off and saying Lashon Hara about people and doing all these things that you say are mitzvahs, you have to be very careful. The Svasama says that that's from the Lashon of Edus. He says that the Edus shares a similar letters from Das. And he says that before you start deciding on impulsively what's the right thing, what's the wrong thing, use a little das. Think about it. And for that, obviously, you have to have something he says called Yishuv HaDas, which is that you have to be thinking calmly and with a settled mind to actually see what's the truth. It's not always so clear. The famous Badchen Rabbi Yankel Miller. You ever heard of him? From America. He's a Vishnus Rechas, a very, very funny Yiddish Badchen. Badchen. So he has this famous joke that he always says. He says, you know, I woke up in the morning and the alarm clock went off. And it was the earliest, 5 in the morning. So my Yetzer Tov said, "Nu, get out of bed, go serve Hashem." Yetzer Hara came and says, "Go back to sleep." Yetzer Tov says, "What do you mean? Get up to serve Hashem." Yetzer Hara says, no, you're going to be sick if you get up. You only slept 3-4 hours. You have to sleep more. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to sleep more. Yetzer Tov says, "No, he's trying to fool you." Yetzer Hara says, "No." All of a sudden he doesn't know which is the Yetzer Tov, which is the Yetzer Hara. They're all arguing. So Yankel Miller says, "Listen, I told them, guys, fight it out, I'll be here. Whenever someone wins, wake me up." He says, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I woke up. The Yetzer Tov won, Baruch Hashem. That's his joke. But the point is that it's true. So often when we have the Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Tov, we don't know what's what. Everything gets very confusing, getting very mixed up. So you have to have a settled mind, the Svasana is saying, Yishuv Adas, in order to figure out, untangle the arguments and all these things, to see what is actually true and what's not. Nachman says, and I think in Chelek Beis, yeah, it says here in Chelek Beis, in Torah Yud, Torah 10, in the second Chelek of the Kutum Ran, he says that the main reason why people are far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because they don't have this settled mind, this Yishuv Adas. And he explains, he says that a healthy person could think through what it is that any taiva or any avera is going to bring to him. He'll think, what am I going to get if I eat this entire plate of food and steak? I'm just going to be sick at the end, and I'm going to be more fat than I already am, and you know, so on and so forth. Or whatever taiva it is that he has, he's going to think it through. But the Yetzer Hara will, you know, close our brains off that we can actually think it through, and he'll just get us in the moment. The famous example that Nachum gives is like a guy running around the shuk, running around the street saying, look what I got, look what I got. He opens up his hands, there's nothing there. Yetzer Hara has a way of getting us in the moment to think, oh, he's got something, and I have to have this. I have to, you know, that's the whole advertising.
It's just what I want.
It's just what I want. That's what I need. You know? I need the iPhone 6. I had the iPhone 5, but now that the 6 is there, I need the iPhone 6. So he gets you into that state. Really, if you think about it and you think it through, you could actually realize the whole thing is just shtuyot. One of my rabbis, Avram Brusla, I used to learn for a long time. He always tells his students, he says, he teaches in seminary, he says, I want you, whenever you see an advertisement, to speak out with your words the advertisement. You see a big picture, what is it telling you? Speak it out loud with your words. So you see the big picture, and of Coke and, you know, the beach and everything, and you speak it out. Well, if I buy a bottle of Coke for $1.50, I'm going to be popular, everyone's going to like me, and my life is going to be just fun and games, you know? Like, it's
life.
It's life. This is Zeh HaChaim.
Zeh
Tam HaChaim. So, but when you speak it out, you start to realize, wow, this is utter stupidity. I was actually once asked on the street, they like stopped me, and they were doing, this is like in, like 15 years ago, I guess when they were just starting the litigation against the tobacco industry. So they were doing like preliminary surveys on the street. So they opened up a book, they said, can we just ask you some questions? All you have to do is, we're going to show you a picture, and you just tell us what you think. That's what we need. And they recorded it. So they just opened up a picture, and you see like a guy smoking a cigarette, and like all the women are like looking at him, you know, like very. So I said, I guess it's saying that if you buy, you know, whatever, Parliament cigarette, all the women are going to run after you. They're like, thank you very much. And they left, and I was like, wow, that's so stupid. You know, like, you think, like, you know, you're smoking a cigarette, everyone's going to love you, you know, like. But the point is that the Yetzer Hara doesn't work that way. He just subliminally puts all these advertisements in our head. And since we never think about it, we just subliminally keep buying into it until, yeah, I have to smoke my cigarette because it's really cool. And, you know, I have to have a Coke because Coke is the thing that makes my life happy. But if and when we speak it out a little bit, is what Rav Nachman is saying, that if and when you have the Yishuv Adas, to actually speak it out, to think it out, or speak it out through what we're... Coke with a cigarette, wow. So if you speak it out, speak it through, then you see that the whole thing is just utter stupidity. Utter stupidity. And but you have to do that. And Rav Nachman says the only way you could do that is through simcha. Because sadness constricts the mind. People, you know, that's Rabbi Rieti speaks about this. Apparently he was involved in the advertising industry when he was a little child, or something in England. And he says that they hire like teams of psychologists to see what's the part, the places that hurt the most in people's lives, and that's where they advertise at. That's where they like pound their advertisements at, the lowest like places which hurt the most. Meaning they go at the places of most atzvos and things, and they hit you right there and say, this is going to be your simcha, your answer. But and basically what Rav Nachman says is that when you're sad, you can't think things through. So Mela, when they hit you there, you don't have to think anymore. You found the answer. You know, it's Coke, it's this, it's that. But Rav Nachman says, if you get simcha, and obviously he says that how do you get simcha? Through a zamra, through looking at the good in yourself, or, you know, Rav Nachman says in other places, you just have to dance sometimes, you just have to stand on your head if you need to do it, whatever you need to do. You got to get yourself in the consciousness of simcha, if and when you do that, so then all of a sudden your mind's a little open, and then you could start thinking, and then you start seeing that all of these things, these witnesses, these edim that are trying to tell you that do this or that, are actually filled with just utter fools and lies.
I think they missed the boat, the psychologists, because Rabbi Nachman and the American way agree the klali taiva is what we know it.
Right.
And that's what American advertisement pushes, whether similarly or not. They both are good. They both agree that's it.
Right.
Except Rabbi Nachman is trying to knock it out.
Right.
And they're trying to promote it.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's they're fighting basically. They're agreeing on the war.
But they both agree that that's it.
Yeah, I guess.
And that's how they. That's like you said. You're a part of it with the women.
Yeah. That's the way it works. That's Mishnah 9, Mishnah Test, Mishnah Yud. It's a small Mishnah, that one, and Mishnah is also small, but it's got a lot of stuff in it. Shmaya v'Avtali and Kiblu Mehem, they were the next set of the two that received. Shmaya Omer, Ehoi Vestam Locha, famous Mishnah. Love to work. Usnas Rabbanus, but hate the rabbinit. Doesn't necessarily mean the rabbinut, but it means the general hate authority. V'al Tesvada L'Rashus, and do not become too familiar with the government. Stay off the government's radar. For all those tax evaders, Everyone knows that. Anyways, what does that mean? So the Bar Tanura says this means even someone that has like mamash, like billions of dollars, like Bill Gates, these guys, you better stay meaningfully employed, because if you don't, and you just sit around and be bored and do nothing, you go crazy. The Bar Tanura adds that even if you're a great person of great stature, you think you're a huge rabbi, you're a king, you're a this, you're a that, you should still make sure to do work, literal physical work. My father had his Rebbe. He said it made the biggest impression. On Friday, he used to throw his tzitzis. He was a real Hasidic Rebbe, the Kasharuv, the Rafael Bloom. He used to sit there, throw his tzitzis over his thing, and do sponge Arab Shabbos. He remembers always seeing that. There's a story with Rav Gedalia Kenig. Apparently, Rav Gottlieb said this story years ago. I asked some of the Kenigs, they didn't exactly know the story, but maybe it was one of the things that happened, that the things that turned on Rav Gedalia Kenig. He grew up a Chabad Chassid. Today's Yad Kislev, you have to bring in Chabad. So he grew up a Chabad Chassid in Givat Shol. So he one time, he was in Shul, and he saw this guy, this Yid, and he was davening with like such fire and intensity and passion. He was like, wow, like such a Yid. But okay, you see Yid, and sometimes they're great daveners. Then he saw him in like the vegetable store, and he was with Simcha and Chias, and he was like thanking the blood. He was like, wow. And then he saw him on Erev Shabbos doing sponge on his porch, singing in Simcha, Erev Shabbos is coming. He says, wow, that's it. You know, and he said, I have to speak to this person. He went over to him, and he was a Brest of Rechassid. He began to speak to him, and it was definitely one of the stages of him recognizing what the Rebbe Zach, what Brest of does to a person. That it's all inclusive and it's something like that. But you see that the big rabbanim, they don't shy away, or big tzaddikim, they don't shy away from doing these things. Whatever, there's a famous story. It's brought down in one of these books in Eretz Yisrael. Of there was a couple that went nebuch to a rav. They had shalom bias issues, so they went to the rav. Both of them, the rav was listening, and it came out that the husband was saying that he's a ben tayur, he's just in kail, he's a long beard, it's a frock even. And it's beneath his dignity to take out the garbage and do things like this. People are going to see him. It's disgusting. It's garbage. And the wife was saying, I just need help. I've had kids. The garbage would be such a big help. So the Rav said, after listening to it very seriously, he said, listen, he's right. He should not take out the garbage. Don't. So the wife was very, okay, the Rav says, that's why we went. She went home. They went to sleep. The next morning, they hear a knock on the door at 9 o'clock. The guy comes to the door, the chashev koil guy, he opens up the door, it's the Rav. He says, how can I help the Rav? He says, I'm here to take out the garbage. He says, he was showing to him, like, you think that it's such a thing, I'll take out the garbage if you think you're too chashev, The point of it is that it's, you're never too chashev to take out the garbage. Rav Tzvi Meyer Zilberberg, I heard this, I can't corroborate this story, but this is what I heard, that he's very, very close with Amshin of the Rebbe. He's, anyone who is with Tzvi Meyer, we've spoken about him even a little bit, he's fiery, fiery passion for Hashem every second of the day, which includes 22 hours of the day, because he only sleeps around an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. And he's just every second davening to Hashem. And the Amshin of a Rebbe told him when he was younger, at least, I don't know about now, he said that you have to make sure to take out all the garbage from your house. And when you're doing it, think about the Trumas Hadeshim. There's a Kohanim, certain Kohanim would take the Trumas Hadeshim, the garbage from the ash from the Mizbeach, and they would take it out. That was their honor. He says, you should think about that and do it with Simcha. And so, Kachav,
some people say Beit Yisrael is where they used to take the Trumas Hadeshim.
There's that area, no? in by the mirror, in between the mirror and that block, where there's like caravans, they say that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people claim that that was the Truma Sedeshin place. Who knows?
Really?
There's a whole thing with the Christians, all machlokas with them and everything, based on that land. There's a whole machlokas I once read about it. But yeah,
right
here, a couple of feet away, you can go see if you find anything. Another Truma Sedeshin was ash. I'm going to find treasure.
The leftovers from the Mizbeah.
But it was, yeah, if you could find some of that ash, it would probably be chashev. Another approach is from the Chida. Chida says, what does it mean, Ehod Es Hamalacha? So he's Medayik. Every letter in Pirkei Avos you could make a diukim from, you can infer from it. It says, Ehod Es Hamalacha, the Malacha. What is the Malacha referring to? What's the Malacha? So he says it's the work. The work is the work of our forefathers, the work of our ancestors. That, in general, they were, you know, everyone always says, you know, you don't think you could go to work. Rabbi Yochanan was a sandler. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha was a blacksmith. So he says, the Chida says exactly. They all did, if you look, very simple things. None of them were, you know, philosophers or college professors or anything like that. Why? Or doctors necessarily, except for the Rambam maybe. But he says, why? He says, the reason is because all of these trades are fairly easy to learn. And they're fairly simple. And what does that mean? That you don't have to spend 20 years in college and half of your life trying to get to the profession that you're going to eventually be able to pay back all the loans and then have a profession. He says, rather, just learn something simple. Be a shoemaker. Learn it, it takes a half a year. Then you start making a little money and you'll make a decent parnosa to support your family nicely. You won't have to spend half of your life just training to become the actual thing that you want to become. And he says, another thing is that it's very good because it will keep you away, like the mission ends off, it'll keep you away from the government, meaning sometimes very big people that, you know, use their chachma, and they can become, let's say, a nuclear physicist or something, and then all of a sudden the government's like, oh, nuclear physicist, we like nuclear physicists, you know, maybe, you know, come to this meeting, and then before you know it, you're in some, you know, bunker 40 things down, and, you know, like in Iran now, the Israelis, Baruch Hashem, are, you know, quietly, slowly taking out one after another, and you know, every couple of weeks another nuclear scientist ends up dead somewhere in Iran. So, you know, it's not the best profession.
Well, we're not necessarily doing it.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry, I take that down. Israeli government's not necessarily doing
it. No.
It could be, actually,
the Iranians are doing it themselves.
Ah.
You know, it's like, we don't like your politics, go over there.
Ah, it could be also, yeah, that would be good.
It's just still recording.
Yeah. The Iranians are doing it to themselves. I would believe that, honestly. So that's the thing that the Chida says, Elbas Hamalacha, to make sure that you get to a thing. Another thing that we can speak about quickly if we have a few more minutes. It says in Chazal, Adam la'amal yulad, a man is born to toil. Ashri misha amal b'toya, you know, praiseworthy is he who is zoicha to toil in the Torah. So at first glance, we always see, Adam la'amal yulad, a man is, you know, like doomed, you know, every man is doomed to work and to toil in this world. But if we take that word, as Reb Nachman says in one of the Torahs, he says you should always change all the atzvos into simcha, you should grab the atzvos itself and make it into simcha. If we take those very words and we recognize what it's teaching us in that, it's teaching us that no matter where you run, you're always going to have to work hard. Right? You think the drug addict, he's having the best time in his life. He has to work so hard to get his next hit. He has to beg and collect and steal and do everything he can. And the guy who's good looking and running around the streets and everyone's loving him, he sits there for 45 minutes blowing his hair every morning, you know? Every single person, wherever you are in life, you're going to have to work. So instead of looking at Ashrei Mi, at Adam La'amal Yulad as a curse, you can look at it as a kindness that Hashem is revealing to you that you should just know. Let's start off life. Wherever you go, you're going to have to toil. You want to make a lot of money? You're going to have to work hard. Everywhere you go, you're going to have to work hard. So, if that's the case, let's try to get the things that we have to work hard on in life that are good. Ashrei mi she'alem alav b'toyo. You know, praiseworthy and lucky and rich is the guy who recognizes that the whole point of this life is not to be a slave to the Yetzer Hara, which is the hard work that you're going to have to do, but rather be a slave, a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is doing that. And if when we recognize that and we realize that wherever we run, we're going to be pursued by toil, and we just say, instead of running away from it, I'm going to run towards it and toil hard in the Torah and coming closer to Hashem, and it's a different approach to life. One of the examples, a few of the examples were Rabbi Yitzchak Batsheva Kamenevsky. She was the wife, Aleh HaShalom, of Rab Chaim. She just passed away a few years ago. And she would, like, she was a very big personality, and she would see hundreds and hundreds of people every day and give brachas and everything. She was
women
every day, and she would give brachas and she would do, like, segulot, everything. She was amazing. But at the end of her life, she was getting mamish very sick, and the doctor told her when she went there that she can't see people anymore. It's going to kill her. Like, she's too much. So she said, okay, the doctor says. So she stopped seeing, I guess, a large amount of people every day. And she came back to the doctor 2 weeks later. She was more sick. And the doctor said, what's wrong with you? You know, like, you're resting, everything. She goes, yeah, but it's eating me up inside. Like, I can't help people. The doctor said, for you, I give you permission to go back to your full rigorous schedule, because I see that she wants to give. She needs to give. A person that doesn't give, mamish, it can eat away at their health. If they're on such a level that that's what they recognize, is the whole tachas in life, then you need that to live. Shlomo Kabach, another person was mamish like that, a famous story that the doctor told him also. He said, you better slow down. He was running around, you know, flying, doing, meeting, singing, teaching, everything. So he told him, if you're going to keep up this schedule, you're going to die in 10 years. There's no way your heart could last past 10 years. So he just answered the doctor. He goes, so you want me to die now instead? Just retire and die now? He says, you know, if I don't live, if I'm not singing and teaching and doing everything that I can in life, then what's the point in living? And Kahava, he went on and kept doing that. We see from all these things that if and when we recognize that this is the purpose of what we're here to do, is to give, so then we can, and we grab onto that thing of giving, and that recognition that we're here to give, and we're here to work hard, and we want to work hard in Avodas Hashem, then it could be the biggest life-giving energy in our life. Hashem Yizakenu. Have a happy Hanukkah.